Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside Sports Dead in Goal podcast. What's this, number 7 or number 8?
This is number 8.
Unreal. Yeah. Well, guys, thanks for joining us. We've got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, next week's State of Origin. Plenty to discuss, mate. Let's kick it off here with, as a Queenslander, and I think me being a Queenslander, you being a New South Welshman, gives a lot of balance, right?
Yeah.
It's good for the listener because We're not biased. It's not like the New South Wales commentary team. Yeah, I got to tell you, it's hard to sit through some of that commentary, mate. Good to see Fatty Vorton back in there on occasion to even things out. No, but in all seriousness, mate, let's talk about Billy Slater.
Yeah.
Huge call to leave him out. I was really surprised by this. I know he's coming back from injury and, you know, he's been out of the game for a couple of years, really, especially the Origin arena.
Yeah.
But, gee, the loyalty factor, I thought that the Queensland go on about so heavily.
Yeah.
I think they've sort of shot themselves in the foot here because, for mine, you have Slater at the back, you have Boyd on a wing, you reshuffle the centres for Gagai and Chambers. Now they've got Nilsson there and no Billy Slater. It just doesn't make sense to me, mate. As a New South Welshman, were you very happy to see this?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, yeah, Darius is his own player. He's just a brilliant fullback in his own right.
Yeah.
But, nobody likes to see Billy Slater's name in a number one, apart from, you know, Melbourne Storm people and Queensland people and Australian supporters. Like, He's arguably the best fullback of all time. He's so lethally dangerous and he's quick. He's got a passing game, a kicking game, and he's torn New South Wales to shreds on so many occasions. So to hear that he'd been left out, it was just a massive sigh of relief across the whole state. It was a reason to party before the kickoff.
For sure, mate. I think it's a real faux pas. And you could tell when Kevy Walters, Maroons coach, was reading out the side and the press conference that went with that, he got really emotional.
Yeah.
Have you seen the footage? His bottom lip was going. Like, he was about to cry.
Just on that, he didn't have to be in that state, did he? Because, I don't know, like, I can't quite see why Darius would have been picked in that position ahead of him. Like, what was their thinking? Was it a loyalty thing? You've done this for the last 2 years.
Maybe. I think that's the only thing you can think, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah.
There's no way that you could really leave Billy Slater out for any other reason, and I think he was outvoted. I think Walters, I mean, I'm just going off my gut instinct but for him to be there and be so emotional, it means I don't think it was his call. I think he genuinely wanted Billy Slater to be there and put Darius Boyd back on the wing.
I guess that's where I was going with it,
mate.
No, that's all right.
I agree.
Yeah, because who else is involved is Lockyer,
Gene Miles.
Oh, Gene Miles, okay. Yeah,
You know, and is it a Broncos thing? You'd hate to think that it is.
Yeah.
But I guess they're two very loyal Broncos men that are around the club a lot and probably know Darius Boyd better than most.
Yeah. From a New South Wales standpoint, like, if you kick the ball to Darius, he's really dangerous, but there's that sense that, you can contain him.
Yeah.
You can, but with Billy, you don't know what he's going to do with the ball when he's 5 metres away from the defenders who are chasing him down. He can just as easily step anybody. He can kick it over the top of anyone. He does that pirouette sort of weird thing that he does to... Yeah, he's very dangerous at Origin level. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you look on any, like, YouTube, get on there and type in Billy Slater's greatest moments, Origin moments, and it'd be 10 of the best minutes of your afternoon, really, even if you are a New South Welshman, because he's just been so dominant at that level and so devastating. I know he's almost 34, but still, geez, the form that he showed throughout the opening rounds have been really good. I especially like it. I mean, you never teach young players to play like this, but his cross-field running for players coming into the holes on the burst is sensational. You know, he can find a hole for you if anyone's going to do that. And I think Queensland are going to really miss that, because if you're ever going to choose Billy Slater, or if you ever needed to, it'd be now, because Thurston, there's a big question mark over.
Yeah.
Inglis isn't there. I mean, there's some big losses there. you know, and Slater just having him around, you know. I think this is going to really bite Queensland in the butt. And in saying that, there's been a lot of legends. I know you spoke to Gary Belcher about this, didn't you? Well, about his comeback. I remember you spoke with Gary Belcher, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And Gary Belcher was quoted through newspaper saying that he just can't believe it. So for the first time in 10 or 11 years, you've got this rugby league fraternity that is the Maroons.
Yeah.
Really, there's a few cracks starting to appear, and they've been so solid together for so long, but when you make a call like this, it really does divide fans. And I know Queensland fans, social media wise, are really blowing up. And as a rugby league fan, first and foremost, I'm really disappointed Billy isn't there, especially with this New South Wales side that we're coming up against. I mean, gee, what a dynamite side. I think it's really going to bite them. And Walters has said, you know, he might be there game two, game three.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too. Yeah, there's still two other games to go.
There are.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Geez, you just, even if you had him in the number 19 jersey, I don't know, maybe that's a disrespectful thing to him. You leave him out altogether, that's probably what they're looking at. But
I
really think this is going to come to bite them on the butt, because Billy Slater, regardless of his age, and we all know how special Darius Boyd is, but he's no Billy Slater, even at the moment. And I think that they've kind of forgotten that in a way. Like I said, it's the Broncos tribalism coming in. I don't know.
I like that theory. All the people sort of are aligned with it. So yeah,
they are. They've all got their one foot in the in Suncorp Stadium every weekend, watching the Broncos play. So
True. They're
exposed to him a lot more. Maybe he's fresher in their minds when you're down in Melbourne. Maybe if Billy Slater played for the Broncos, it'd be different. Who knows?
Now we're talking.
Now we're getting controversial.
Yeah.
And mate, while we're on Origin, there's a fair bit to talk about, mate. What do you think about? Do you think, as a New South Welshman, do you think it's a smokescreen for Thurston? Do you think he's going to be there, mate?
Yes, I do. Yes, I think it's a smokescreen. Yes, he'll play. It's his last year in Origin. Blooding Milford in Thurston's last year in Origin. This happens every year. There's either a flu virus, someone's rolled over a ball. It really happened. It's just that it wasn't on camera. The cameras have been hanging around training for 6 weeks, filming every single last second of training. Nobody saw this ankle roll over a ball. That was last year's episode. Yeah. No, it happens every year. If Thurston doesn't play, then he must be injured. He must be really, really battling to come back from that shoulder injury. So, but yeah, Laurie Daly said it just straight after the teams were picked.
Mm.
He said they'll train as if Thurston's going to play.
Yeah,
and that's the way to go, because if they train as if Milford's going to play, then they've got things covered anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, Thurston's 3, 4, 5 times the player that Milford is. So, no disrespect to him, but
definitely
experience wise and
I know what you mean, though, because I was lucky enough when I was a journalist in Queensland writing for a newspaper there to go into camp with the Maroons on a few occasions and spend the whole lead-up with them, which was absolutely fantastic experience. But it was funny. It used to happen back then, what you're talking about. Someone rolled over or did this or that. Thurston just wouldn't be at training one morning. And the trainer would say Thurston was on the card to give a press conference, and all of a sudden you got a Hodges is there in his place. Where's Thurston? He didn't want to get out of bed this morning. Make of that what you will. You know, and you just be like, what is going on here? He wouldn't train one day. And you're right. All these things are just Thurston's not training. Boom, that's the first story that's out there online. Thurston's on track. And, you know, we are pretty good at doing that. But I think genuinely this isn't a smoky for me. I think if he was going to play, he'd be training the house down. He's not going to be doing any contact at all until, Sunday.
Okay.
He's hoping for Sunday to do some contact sessions, Thurston.
Yep.
I mean, it's a big loss, you know, him being there. I know that Cooper Cronk's done a wonderful job
over the last
decade. He's been fantastic. But Thurston really is that X factor, that roaming ball player that just sees things that not many players do. He's a huge loss if he doesn't play. I mean, you know, looking at Milford, he wouldn't have been my pick.
No.
I mean, I'm not a selector, but just in my opinion, I would have picked Milford. I probably would have put Morgan in, ran Morgan on.
Yeah.
And maybe had a Cherry Evans or even a Milford on the bench to start Milford.
He's
a huge thing. I just don't think he's up to Origin. That's just my opinion. I guess you don't know until we see him play. He might have a blinder on next Wednesday night should Thurston not play. But in my opinion, mate, I don't think Milford's anywhere near it. I know he's been pretty good for the Broncos. He's been pretty solid, but he's not Origin to me. But you're right. It's time to blood some new players. And, you know, we all saw how Mitchell Pearce went over his first 15 games. We'll talk about Pearce in a little minute.
Yeah.
But, mate, it'll be interesting to see. But, mate, on the New South... Let's talk about this New South Wales side. I know there's a couple of guys you would have wanted to be there. Boyd and Vaughan, I think. You thought... You're a bit surprised they weren't there.
Absolutely. You try and think of who the Queenslanders would least like having run at them. Those two blokes, Shannon Boyd and Vaughan. God, they're not only big, but they're really mobile as well. And especially Boyd, like he's the big complaint about him was his lateral movement and whether he had enough variety in his running.
Yeah.
He's trimmed down a little bit, but he's only just, you know, he looks more solid than last year.
Yeah.
And Vaughan. God, he's a form player of the competition with Pearce.
Absolutely.
He would have been dynamite in that pack. As we were saying before, maybe there's two other games to go. So if there's an epic fail in the Blues pack somewhere or if somebody goes down, those two blokes should be the first considered, I think.
I was really relieved not to see Vaughan there especially.
Definitely.
He's been devastating.
Yeah.
His move to the Dragons has been unbelievable. Yeah. I don't know what Mary's done to him. I mean, he's always been solid. But
Gee,
he's been playing well.
Yeah, and as the Dragons have been inconsistent of late, he hasn't been.
No.
He's, their standout player almost. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
So him and Boyd, I thought we were really unlucky.
Yeah.
It's just part of the loyalty thing that Laurie Daly has always makes me laugh. You can't copy Queensland's loyalty program because we haven't been winning.
Mm.
Queensland has been winning, so they stay loyal to winning players. Mm. For us to stay loyal to our players means you're staying loyal to players who haven't been able to win.
You're right there. And the other side of the Queensland loyalty thing is. You know, we don't have a heck of a lot of players to choose
that's
from
true,
to begin
isn't
with.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's always been the case for Queensland. That's why, you know, throughout the 80s and the late 80s, as soon as Brisbane came in, and throughout the 90s especially, it wouldn't be unfamiliar to look at that side and see 9 or 10 Broncos players or even more, you know. For a lot of some of those series... it'd be the Broncos v New South Wales, just because there wasn't the players to choose.
And that goes right back to pre-Super League, doesn't it, when no Raiders or Broncos were able to be picked and Ben Eichen came into the squad.
Exactly.
Very, very young player with hardly any experience in ARL at the time. But he was basically all Fatty had to choose from. Yeah, you're right. That's a good point.
Yeah, and that's part of it. I know exactly what you're saying. For the Blues to try and play the loyalty card... With a record like they've got,
is
a little bit strange. But mate, as a Queenslander, I look at this side and I go, wow, this is a fantastic team. I think you guys are really setting up for a little bit of a dynasty of your own.
Yeah, maybe it's just a corresponding thing with Queensland with those ageing superstars.
Right.
Maybe this is how it works.
It is. I mean, you know, a lot of those guys are in their 30s, well into their 30s now. I mean, you look at Cameron Smith, Thurston, Kronk. Slater, who was missed out, even Darius Boyd's 30 years old. Greg Inglis, who obviously is a massive loss, won't be there, but he's 30 as well. I mean, there's a lot of players that are getting to that mark that went through that terrific period that Queensland has had since 2006, winning 10 of 11 of the of the series, which has been fantastic, or 11 of 12. But you know, it is a changing of a guard in my opinion. And mate, when you go 1-1 through the lists, where New South Wales probably, or where Queensland probably have the upper hand is the sevens, Kronk v Pearce.
Yeah, that's where you do have depth. You were talking about lack of depth before. You do have it there.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
And you'd think, but Pearce has been playing unbelievable football. Yeah. Jeez, he's been good. On form, they're as good as each other. But when you get into that that state of origin mindset, I mean, it's a different thing. We have seen Pierce struggle with that in the past, but I think Kronk's probably got the edge on Pierce there. Obviously, Cameron Smith's got the edge over Nathan Peets.
Yeah.
Darius Boyd's probably got the edge on... Who have you got? Tedesco.
Yeah, Teddy. Yeah.
Probably, maybe. I don't know, but throughout the rest of the list, I'm not seeing too many where I go, look at the front rows. You've got Nate Miles against what Aaron Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? The back rows, especially for New South Wales, I mean... Your bench is fantastic. Oh, I mean, look at Fifita. He's running on. And that's where, you know, that's where he should have been going. I think that he should have ran on in years gone past rather than come off the bench. Give him some ownership of the game early. I think that's a masterstroke by Laurie Daly to do that with Andrew Fifita. Yeah, I'm really worried, mate. Are you confident about the side?
No, I'm not. No, because I'm too jaded from those, you know, 10 losing series over the last 11 years. We had Pierce on our list there to discuss, but not a great fan of him being picked, only because I would have liked to have seen him picked alongside, you know, his club half.
Yeah.
Like Luke Keary would have been a really good... Yeah. Because then there's no settling in then. Mm. You've got a combination that's set. Mm-hmm. So, same too with, you know, Maloney. I think Maloney should have been picked alongside Chad Townsend.
Okay.
It's a bit out of the box there, but again, that if you're talking about loyalty and combinations, you've got two combinations there immediately. Mm. Yeah. So, and contradicting myself here, I suppose Maloney and Pierce have played alongside each other. So, so there you go. There you go. Yeah.
But I know what you mean. But in just on Pierce, I mean, he's copped so much from his own. I mean, 15 games to date. Put that in perspective, Andrew Johns only played 16 for New South Wales.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I mean, that's a stat incredible for you. So, yeah. Pierce has played 15, but he's only won four of those. So, he has struggled, but, gee.
I'm not going to call him a crap player because he isn't, but
no,
he just hasn't won.
He hasn't won. But in saying that, the team, the Queensland sides he's come up against were just ridiculous. And he was... He really wasn't given time to forge any sort of longevity or relationship with a halves partner. I mean, you look at how many halves have gone
through
in that time. It was just this reactionary thing that you guys would do after every loss. You'd just cut half the team or thereabouts, you know, and bring new guys in. I mean, I'd be interested to see how many New South Wales players have one or two caps, you know, throughout the last sort of 11, 12 years. But I think on his form, I think he's... let's not forget, he debuted as a 19-year-old. He is 28 years old now.
Yep.
And he's got 28. He's won a premiership. He is an unbelievable player. He's gone through the stuff from last year. His Australia Day incident. He's off the drink. You know, he's really sorted himself out off the field by hearing what Freddie Fittler's got to say about him and some other players as well. Okay. Anthony Minicello. They said how proud they've been of him to see his transition off the field to settle down as a man. And I think he really will lead this side around. He's copped so much. And I really hope he does. I mean,
I do too, yeah, for sure.
I'd just love to see him stick it up, you know, all these naysayers and have a really good series. I don't want to see him win, but I want to see him play well. But I guess if you guys don't win, I mean, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But I think for himself, it would be good, and it would be good for New South Wales if he played well. And I can see him having a great series, mate.
It'd be great to see him just take on that really aggressiveness, that aggressive nature with the ball.
Yeah.
I'd love to see him score a try, you know, seeing him burst through the defensive line and then race over the try line and smash the ball down on the ground like that, as like he does with the Roosters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just that real hard-running, uncompromising, tenacious spirit that he has.
Absolutely, and he does.
And I'd love to be proven wrong about him.
Yeah.
And let's hope I am wrong.
He's got plenty of terrific time. I mean, let's not forget. I mean, I sincerely think New South Wales are on the edge of something really special. Whether they win eight series in a row, probably not. But I think as far as a run, they go on a run for a couple of years, a few years. I can see the potential of that happening. And you got Pierce, who's only 28. I mean, you know, he really could be the difference in saying the redemption. I mean, if he plays well over the next 5 or 6 years, he may have 30 origins under his belt. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If he plays well, and I can see him definitely winning one or two more premierships with that Rooster side. You don't do that unless you're a class player. And I think the 2 years away from the game is really going to see him come into his own. And you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him play, mate, even as a Queenslander.
If your birthday is coming up, we'll have to buy you a Blues jersey.
No, thanks. No, thanks. I just love rugby league, mate. I love rugby league. Yeah. Mate, so Maroons, this is the most vulnerable I've seen them.
Yeah.
I'm worried.
I don't think you should be, because there's still quality. There's quality across that whole side.
You look at, if you go man to man, list to list on both sides.
But that's not how Queensland plays.
Yeah, I know.
I've been around Queenslanders for the last 10 years now, and you all talk about this spirit, and we all bag the crap out of you and say, you know, it's because of your good players that you have.
Mm.
But there's this weird thing that happens to Queenslanders out in the field, and well, you saw it in 95, 96.
Yeah.
It's not about
who you've got or form.
But they obviously picked Jacob Lilleyman, who I thought had disappeared from the scene. You watch him, he'll fire on all cylinders on Wednesday night, and everyone will say that's why we picked him, because he's a Queensland Origin player.
Yeah, something does happen to players. I don't know. It's just this, and it's definitely something. My older brother grew up in New South Wales, and he's quite a bit older. He's 12 years older than me, but he talks about this Queensland thing. He goes, "You guys have just got it."
Yeah,
I don't know what it is.
You got it with each other. Yeah,
I think it's the old chip on the shoulder from back in the day. I mean, there's some serious stories there told about, you know, when Queensland players back pre 1980. Had to play for New South Wales.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the fact that it was New South Wales Rugby League,
and we don't have that. My better half Megan talks about New South Wales considering itself Australia, and you guys consider yourself Queenslanders.
Yeah.
So, but we don't have that history of that oppressive history, if you like. We've always had it the same way that we've got it now, as if to say we can pick anyone whoever we like, but we don't have that. We were here and now we're here. Like, that's just a bit of a background theory to it all. But you know, there's a history there, and you've all drunk, you know, the Kool-Aid coming through.
Yeah.
I hate to spruik the mag halfway through the podcast, but Billy Moore in our magazine talks about, you know, not necessarily the origin of the Queensland call, but how when he was screaming it out down the players' tunnel. You know, the first time we'd heard
that Queenslander. 95?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
It was.
He said it didn't start then, but that was just being carried on by players who had started it, you know, 15, 20 years beforehand. Yeah. And so there you go. That's the continuation of that buy-in.
And, mate, I could honestly say, I mean, I've lived in Sydney now for over a year. Mate, it is a different place.
Yeah.
People are different. It might as well be a different country. And you've travelled as well, but living in Queensland, and especially southeast Queensland, you know, it's like a different country, mate. It really is. The attitudes of the people, the relaxed nature of the place, maybe New South Wales people would see it as being backwards in a way. You know, I know that sort of talk goes on. But however way you look at it, we're different people. Queenslanders and New South Welshmen are just different people.
That's right.
Not saying one's better than the other, but yeah, Queenslanders and New South Welshmen, they're different. We're different.
And especially with that origin focus as well, we've got the eight teams down here who are all backstabbing each other. We're trying to beat each other week after week. And just to give you an idea of where I'm coming from, when no Penrith players were selected in Origin, my first thought was, oh, good, no Penrith players are going to get injured in Origin. How good's that? Whereas you blokes would be like, I can't believe he wasn't picked. Well, what are you doing?
That's a fair point.
Yeah, yeah.
In saying that, though, I'm not glad, but it was a bit of a relief to know that a few of those Manly players that are on the cusp, Dylan Walker, Daly Cherry Evans, and Tom Trbojevic would have been there. I guess he's injured now. But knowing that those two especially aren't going to be there, I agree with you.
Yeah, because you need those players for that week in, week out battles against the other Sydney teams.
Whereas
Brisbane's basically an Origin team every week, isn't it?
But I must make it very clear, just because you're a Queenslander doesn't mean you go for the Broncos.
Yeah.
I've got to make that very, very clear. You know, looking on some websites, you know, you probably wouldn't believe it, but let me tell you, it's a very real thing. Just because you're a Queenslander doesn't mean you like the Donkeys. But anyway, Maroons have got a lot out. Thurston, Slater, Scott, Parker's retired, Inglis.
Yeah.
Mate, it's a huge. If there was ever an opportunity, and I read Phil Gould's column today, if there was ever an opportunity, now's the time to do it. You've got game two down here. You know, it can be done.
Yeah, for sure. Especially in game one, where nobody's expecting, you know, too much from Milford.
No.
And this is our shot. I'll concede that. This is our shot.
Yeah, it's a shot for sure. And it's going to be a ripper game. So who are you tipping? What's your score?
I'll go Queensland. Queensland by the usual 12.
Queensland by
12. I just hope New South Wales doesn't conk out at the 60-minute mark and Queensland just find another leg late in the game. It goes back to the Lockyer days and it just happens all the time. Geez, I'm cynical, aren't I?
You are very cynical.
I've been burnt a lot.
You are scarred. I mean, let's face it, there were young children, all children are young, but there were children in New South Wales in grade 2 and 3 that had never seen a series won by New South Wales. And my nephews and niece were some of those as well that lived in Sydney. I used to get into them about it. So
there you go.
They've been scarred, mate.
And that joke, Facebook's 10 years old, but it's never had a New South Wales Origin Champions page before. I love that.
Yeah, I do love it.
I do love the even though Queensland has been winning for the last decade,
I
think it's good for Origin. It's good for a rivalry when the underdog keeps winning. Yeah. It keeps the wheels turning. Because, you know, when New South Wales have won 3 in a row, back in between 2003 and 2005, I think it was. Mm-hmm. I still remember it. They were questioning whether Origin would be phasing out.
It's ridiculous because I think New South Wales, like I said, are going to go on a real run. And if you look at, I'm not sure what the odds are, but I'm pretty sure New South Wales are favourite to win up there. And if you look at them on paper, it's hard to disagree with the bookies.
And you look at it, if you went back and looked at the favourites in game one for the last decade, we would be favourites most years. I love it. It's the same story over and over again, but it works.
It does. But
last year, I think like 4 million people tuned in on television for game one.
Wow. It
just keeps getting bigger bigger and bigger.
It does. Yeah, and the redemption for New South Wales is there to be taken. It's come on, guys, let's redeem ourselves. I mean, Laurie Daly's on his last year of contract.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, James Maloney has come out and said, you know, enough's enough. That's what he said today. He said, enough is enough. It's just there, and they just know it. They just know it. You can just tell it. They've just had enough.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's the same sort of mindset Queensland had about the chip on the shoulder back in the day.
Yeah, true.
You know, and every side needs that little bit of extra whatever.
Yep.
Losing 10 out of the last 11 series is surely going to provide some motivation. And not to be scared, this side doesn't look scared. You know, this New South Wales side looks up for it, mate. So I'm tipping a New South Wales victory.
Okay.
I mean, I really hope Queensland win, but I'm tipping. I don't think Thurston's going to play. I think leaving Billy Slater out's huge. Not having Scott Inglis and so forth there is going to be a huge loss. I call it 22-18. Okay. New South Wales.
High-scoring game for Origin.
Yeah, I think it will be.
If Thurston doesn't play, geez, I hope he's available for the next two games. I hate watching Origin without him. It just doesn't feel right.
No.
It feels like the teacher's out of the room and it's not really the real thing. Like, you want him there.
Yeah.
You want New South Wales playing Jonathan Thurston, Cooper Cronk and Cameron Smith and Billy. But
you want to beat him, you want to beat him.
Yeah, for sure.
Properly. No excuses. You don't want a Queenslander saying, oh,
because it'll take a trillionth of a second for that excuse to be made.
Exactly right, exactly. There's always excuses. So, yeah, mate, huge game. So, can't wait. I love this time of the year. And just talking about that, do you think, mate, you pointed out before, and it's a great stat, 20 players missing. There's only 4 games this week in the NRL.
Yeah.
There's 20 players that aren't available for those 4 matches, mate. Yeah. Is it about time we started discussing? I know it's raised every year.
Yeah.
And coaches especially do it.
Yeah.
To have standalone Origin matches.
It's raised every year because it should be raised every year. Yeah, definitely. If this is your biggest 3 games of the year, apart from the grand final, you can't mix it in, have it mixing in with the NRL season. It doesn't make any sense. I don't understand why it's still done. I don't I made the joke when we were having our discussion beforehand, and I don't want to ruin our analysis talk, but you go to Shark Park on Saturday night, and there's seven of the best players in the game who aren't going to be there.
Yeah.
And you'll be charged the same admission price for the ticket, and seven of the best players in the comp are not going to be on the field. I don't understand why we don't have standalone Saturday night Origins.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can get Channel 9's argument of more people watch it on Wednesday, but how much more people do you want watching it? Like, it gets 4 million people.
It is a fantastic thing, though, on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, it is.
I love it. I see. I know what you're saying, though, but Wednesday night, there's just something special about watching football on a Wednesday night.
It's a bit of an unexpected bonus, isn't it?
It's a little treat.
Yeah, treat, that's
it. It's almost, you know, you're pumped at work, you can't really concentrate. You know, all we have to concentrate on is sport all day, but we can't even, because you're so excited about the game. You know, you're just like, oh, geez, you know. It's almost like, you know, Christmas Eve or Christmas Day for adults, really, or rugby league fans. It's just fantastic.
Petro, I interviewed him last week.
Yeah.
And he said that back at his school at Redcliffe, they used to have Maroon Days. And where the kids could wear maroon to school. And there'd be always that lone New South Wales supporter who had to wear blue, and he'd cop crap. He said it was so fun. Everybody gets into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but, absolutely. I don't know. Imagine the build-up to an Origin game on a Saturday. You invite your mates over or your family over, and you have a barbie, and on Fox or Channel 9, they have best of Origin highlights, and you know, you can have family reunions.
You're setting
around
the scene for me.
I reckon it would work brilliantly. Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon you're right.
Yeah.
I reckon you're right. So all you'd do there is that'd be the game for the week. The guys are going to camp on the Monday and play on the Saturday night.
Yeah. And stop the NRL for that week.
Stop the NRL for that week.
Yeah. And then the next argument against it is, on Wednesday, Origin has the whole stage, has the whole sporting attention. And you think...
Yeah, you shouldn't need that.
No, you'd think it would have it on Saturday as well. Like, what are you competing against?
Especially regular season. You might be competing against AFL. Australian rules, yeah.
But, you know...
A round-robin match. It was funny, I saw a comment the other day on a mate of mine. He's a huge Collingwood supporter, and it was after the round, and he said, 87,000 they got on Anzac Day, and we only got, the rugby league only got 50 or something like that. And I jumped straight and I said, 87,000 between Collingwood and the Bombers. I said, rugby league gets more than that to an Origin match at the MCG. You know, so you're probably right there.
Yeah.
There is a lot of interest in it.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful, beautiful spectacle.
Yeah, it is. So you kind of can't have both, can you? You want to build Origin up to, to the nth degree, but then have the NRL playing alongside it. You can't have both, yeah.
No. Interesting. Mate, any other gripes, mate? We've got... mate, there's been some play... Like, I think this is really good that you raised this.
Yeah.
Has been the last 20 minutes of games, it has looked like, you said before, players hitting the wall.
I mean, I've never played, but... I've watched the game for a long time, and the players these days seem to be wanting to play the game too quickly. They just seem to be going at a trillion miles an hour the first 5, 10, 15 minutes. And they have this point where you have a scrum, and you can just see the sweat pouring off these players' bodies, and they can hardly bloody walk to these scrums that the referee's on their back, come on, pack it in.
Yeah, they are buggered.
Yeah, and you think, you got no energy left. And you've
got changes, hey?
Yeah, I think so.
They're right down now.
And also it's because they're just trying to play the game too quickly. They've almost got too much respect for the opposition, and they're trying to smash through them every single tackle.
Yeah.
Like, you think, well, it's a momentum game. You build momentum down the field.
It has changed in that regard.
Yeah. It's just something I've noticed. You almost watch the game feeling sorry for the modern players. You think, geez, you poor buggers.
You want that pace all the way through, and you want the last 20 minutes to be exciting and not for a result to be decided.
And it is all about having the proper footballers come back into the game. I get that.
Yeah.
That's the counter-argument.
Sure.
Yeah, like you want your Preston Gambles to be the star of the show towards the end, not your big Hulk, sort of robotic, athletic players. Mm. We are seeing a lot more footy players come back into the game.
Yeah, that's
the upside to it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. But you're right. There's been a big drop off.
Just think they should
of intensity just, throughout those last quarter of the match.
And that's all right. But yeah, just even it out over the 80 minutes. Like the Melbourne Storm. Like if you watch them, you really watch them closely. Nobody takes one more running step during the game than what they have to.
Mm.
Cameron Smith will stick to his little corridor, and people say he's got great longevity. Mm. He's just smart about the way he plays.
Definitely.
He doesn't make any silly efforts that he doesn't need to.
Yeah.
They just do whatever they have to do, and that's why they're on top year after year after year.
They are, mate. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. What else can we complain about?
your boys, you're going to say about Penrith.
Yeah. I think it's really strange. Their first halves, I don't understand why, you train all week, and then you go out the back once you're at the stadium and you have your final warm up, and you go out into the field and you have another warm up, and then they've just been coming out and they've just been non-existent.
Yeah,
it's almost like it looks like they're trying to not get their jerseys dirty in the first half. I think what have you got to go and have dinner in them or something after the game?
Well, it's
strange.
And the highlight of that was really against the Warriors, that great comeback they had, the last 15 minutes there.
Yeah, and I don't know what...
24 points were scored or something, wasn't it?
They were behind 28-6.
Right, 22 points.
It was incredible.
It was unreal.
And it wasn't as if the Warriors dropped off either. It was Penrith just deciding,
we've
got the players to do this. We were tipped to win the comp at the start of the year. And that's still a fair enough assessment, because what was everybody else supposed to think? Looking at their list, it's the stars, there's talent right across the 17, and it's almost as if they decide, this is ridiculous, what are we doing?
Yeah.
And less so against Newcastle. You could see that coming from the later stages of the first half. As poor Newcastle kids, they don't have the experience behind them and the miles in their legs. So you could see it. You could actually see that playing out.
Yeah.
But against the Warriors, you're right. I don't know. If they can get that first half, even 50% better than what they've got it, then they won't lose too many more games this year, Penrith.
Yeah. Well, it's funny talking about that game against the Warriors. Might as well talk about the Warriors, mate. There's been some real question marks over there. Just having them in the NRL. I mean, is it worth having them there? They've got a huge nursery of talent to choose from.
Yeah.
But they just weren't there against St. George Friday night. That was really embarrassing.
That was a game too that was played at Waikato, which is it was like a bit of a road trip for them.
Yep.
Spread the word about the Warriors in a real rugby union heartland.
I
watched that game. They
weren't there.
They didn't take advantage of it at all, did they?
They just haven't been playing well.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. They've never got it right. The closest they've got was 0-2 against the Roosters.
This is the 23rd season.
Is it really?
End of the comp in 1995.
This
is their 23rd season. And you're right, they played Manly in the grand final and lost in 2011.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
So they played two grand finals.
Yeah. So that's not a bad effort, but...
It's not a bad effort, but...
I remember when they first came in 95, they bought Greg Alexander, the other blokes like Betts and all those. Mm. It was almost as if, oh no, look, the Warriors are coming in and nobody else is ever going to win another comp. I remember the hype. It was like, you can't let the Warriors in, like a whole country against everybody else.
And now they're called the New Zealand Warriors. Why aren't they called the Auckland Warriors anymore?
And that's the other, the Auckland, they need to be the Auckland Warriors.
They do.
Yeah, Auckland. It's
Auckland.
Just, yeah.
New Zealand, anyway.
It's all in the name. If they change the name,
exactly.
Then all the problems will be solved.
But the Warriors for mine have really got to step things up, and I just don't know what's going on there.
For the good of the game, it's like soccer too, like Wellington. The whole league needs them to play their part too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. That's right. It needs to be done. Mate, let's get into some games here.
Some games. The four non-origin games this year. Sorry, this weekend.
Mate, we've got South and Parramatta.
Yeah, now, Friday. Okay. So all that bagging we just did of the league about how we shouldn't be playing games on the days before either side of Origin. So there's no Origin players in this game. Yeah, so the Rabbitohs coming off that close loss to the Storm in Perth, and they've got George Burgess back from suspension too, so that's pretty good. And the Eels are they're actually facing their third straight loss, and they've got Michael Jennings injured as well. So
yeah, that's a big loss. You know, he's a huge loss. I saw that came through on Tuesday. That's 4 weeks out for them, and they're already without Corey Norman.
Yeah, so true.
I guess
the
great thing is, though, they've got Mitchell Moses.
Mitchell Moses, hey?
Yeah, good old Mosey. This is an interesting one. I can see Souths doing this.
Me too, yeah. I'm definitely going to pick them. They're they've got it all over Parramatta on paper by the looks of it.
Yeah.
All those English forwards, Burgess, he's not going to be hampered by Origin. He'll be there.
Yep.
He's just, a nice home game for the Rabbitohs to get things back on track with, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Parramatta have been really disappointing for mine.
Yeah, they're one of those teams, along with Penrith and Canberra, that didn't really fulfil the expectations in the first half of the season. Yeah.
Mate, we've got Warriors and the Broncos. This is a... this is an interesting one. I've just been bagging the Warriors out. And let me tell you, if you were the baby Broncos, they're going to be without six. Maguire, Gillett, Milford, Boyd, Oates and Thaiday that are in for Queensland. There's a question mark over James Roberts, who I think should have definitely been in your New South Wales side.
I'm stoked he's
not there.
Just on
a side note. McCulloch, the hooker, needs to pass a concussion test. If you're going to be, the baby Broncos, you want to be playing the Warriors.
I'm
going to tip the Broncos.
You reckon?
Yeah, I'm tipping the Broncos. They've got a lot of young guys they've named, a couple of debutants as well. But who we got back? We got Benji and Hunt in the halves there. The Warriors, gee.
And you're tipping them on cynicism about the Warriors.
I am.
This has been gift wrapped for them, this game. If they can't win this, then fair dinkum. What are they doing?
Yeah.
Foran.
Johnson.
Johnson. Yeah.
Mannering.
Whoever. Yeah. The best ever.
Isaac Luke.
Yeah, Warriors side.
Roger Tuivasa-Sheck.
That's the one I was trying to think of.
The Beast on the wing, you know.
It's like, seriously, if they don't win this, then I don't know. What do you say?
Yeah, well, if they don't win this, there needs to be some serious questions asked because, are they a viable option here in the NRL? If you can't beat the baby Broncos. I'm the Bronx. I'm actually going to be going for them, though, which is really weird.
What do you want to see? You want to see action taken at the Warriors, do you?
I don't know. Just a little devil inside me.
Yeah, I'm going to go... I'll go to Broncos as well. I've got no confidence at all in the Warriors. I don't pick them anymore in tipping. You just don't. No.
Sharks and the Dogs, mate. So there's seven players out here.
Yeah, so you got Maloney, Fifita, Graham, and Bird for the Sharks.
Yeah,
and then those players that you just mentioned. You've got Brett Morris, Josh Jackson and David Clemmer for the Bulldogs.
That's
all
some
out.
Big outs for the Dogs.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just Clemmer and Jackson especially.
Well, we know the Bulldogs, that they always, year in, year out, pride themselves on their packs. That's the style of football historically that they've played. And that's, of course, Clemmer and Jackson. It's a huge loss.
The two most damaging forwards, and the Sharks are chasing three in a row.
Yeah.
And they've got a healthy squad themselves. Like, they've got Chad Townsend, Paul Gallen still playing. Yeah. So I'd expect them to beat the Bulldogs for sure.
Luke Lewis.
Yeah, Lewis, yep.
The boys.
Val Holmes.
Yeah. That's another one. How do you play for Australia and not make the
Isn't that a debate?
Doesn't play for you know who. I'm just being cheeky. Yeah. That's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
sure.
Different selection panels. And
yeah.
It is the ultimate question, though, isn't it? How can you qualify for your country but not your state?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Yeah. Mate, who do you see getting the chocolates here? Do you think the Sharks will do it pretty easy?
Yeah, I think so. Saturday night down there.
Yeah.
It's, the crowd's going to be interesting, as I said, with all those big players out, whether the Sharks fans see it worthy as turning up when you don't have Maloney and Fifita on the park and Graham as well.
Yeah, this should be a massive crowd, surely. absolutely huge.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. And the Bulldogs have lost their last two.
Mm.
But they played all right last week, so we'll see what sort of effort they put up.
Yeah.
They're quite unpredictable as well. They're in ninth, one of those teams that you just don't know what's going to happen, do you?
That's where we said they were going to finish the year, too, for the magazine in the rugby league issue.
Oh, right, yeah,
I think we said they were going to 9 or 10, maybe even 10th.
We campaigned pretty hard for that. Our editor, Jeff Centenera, wanted them a lot higher, and you and I, you know, stuck our...
Yeah, and I think that's where they're going to finish. But anyway, go the Sharkies. I'm going to tip them too.
The Sharks, yeah.
Raiders and the Roosters.
Yeah, and this is another game that is laid on a platter for the
Raiders
for the home side. Yeah,
no excuses from Ricky Stewart if they lose this one. What are they? Five down?
Did you say? Yeah, yeah. Ferguson, Pierce, Cordner, Napa, and Guerra. Their hardest solid players not there. Jeez, it's just. This non-standalone origin thing is really annoying.
Yeah.
Again, like, you pay your money. You're down in Canberra, you go to the footy, and those five players for the Roosters aren't there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, your team stands a better chance of winning, but that's no fun. Like, no.
You want to see the best of the best.
Yeah.
Real proper battle.
And Papali, he's the only one out for the Raiders, but, they should get the points here, you'd think.
If they're anything... what they were tipped to be, they should do it by, you know, honestly, they should do it by 20 or 30 points.
Yeah, well,
if they're the real deal, I mean, a small win isn't going to cut it with me.
Okay, yeah.
You know, they're going to, you know, Ricky Stewart's boys are really going to stand up here and put on a real, and whoop them.
Yeah.
Because with those, look at those players, same again. Who are they without?
The Roosters.
Yeah.
So Ferguson, Pierce, Boyd Cordner, Dylan Napa, and Aiden Guerra.
Okay, if the Raiders can't put 30 on these guys, then they don't deserve to be spoken about as a top four side.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I agree. Especially with, you know, Austin and they've got their whole team intact. They've got
the whole team.
Papali's the only player that's out. So
absolutely,
he's damaging, but he's not. He's not equal to those five players that the Roosters have got out.
Absolutely
so.
Not.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Raiders in that one.
Yeah, the Raiders.
Plus 13. Wonder what that's paying. Probably not much. Mate, let's have a talk about Rearview Mirror, which is a little segment we like to look back on the history of the game. And mate, what do you think we talk about today? Maybe the key origin moments. And I think it's good you being a Blue and me being a Maroon.
Yeah.
I think for mine, was obviously that try in game one, the miracle try that Mark Coyne scored in the right corner there. And Bill Harrigan just... Game 1, 1994, yeah.
Oh, right.
And Bill Harrigan gave that without a... I didn't even think there was a video ref back in those days anyway, but and it was a fair dinkum try, but end-to-end in the final minute.
That was unbelievable. It was from an opposition fan. You were just sitting there thinking, just get him. When's he going to stop? It went for about 13 passes or something, didn't it?
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Some of those passes were just, you know... getting smashed, you know. Boy, I remember Hancock to Renoff. Renoff to Meninga, and then Meninga. I still to this day think Meninga passed it too early anyway.
Okay.
He gave that to Coyne too early.
Yeah.
And if you watch that and watch a replay of that try,
you'll
see what I mean.
Okay.
He Coyne had to... It was a miracle that he found the line, Mark Coyne. But Meninga gave that one too early. In my opinion, Meninga gave that too early. But anyway, we got the chocolates.
You know what would be really good if you got all those players that were there that night?
Reenacted.
Yeah. Not necessarily running through it. You know, they could be in suits
could talk
or whatever.
About it.
Yeah, they could say, okay, what were you thinking here? Like,
yep.
And Renoff could be behind the halfway line where it all started.
That would be cool.
Yeah, we should do it for the magazine or the website or something.
Definitely.
Yeah, my one would be that O'Connor sideline.
Mm.
I think it was a conversion from
in
the pouring rain. I hope I get the year right. I think it was 1991. I don't know why I think that, but it's just that was the moment when, as a kid, I thought, geez, this must be hard to play this game.
Yeah.
That pressure that O'Connor was under. Not that there was a big crowd behind him because it was just teeming with rain all night, but what a pressure kick.
Unbelievable kick.
Yeah.
It was from the right touchline, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah.
And funnily enough, mate, I interviewed him about this.
O'Connor?
When I was working for a newspaper up there in Queensland, we had a segment in the paper similar to sort of Rearview Mirror, but it was like clutch moments. And you,
oh, yeah.
And it was, you basically take it verbatim from the person and just put it in quotes. And I was lucky enough to call O'Connor. He lived in Noosa at the time. He still does. And he talked me through it. And he just said, I just couldn't believe it. You know, he was just like, well, this is what it's all about.
And that was, as you say, on his Origin debut, is that right?
No, it wasn't. Oh. It wasn't. He debuted in 85. I thought it was. Yeah. I know I told you that before, but no, it wasn't his debut. So what a kick, mate. That's what it's all about.
Would have been off the sand hill, would it?
Off the pile of sand. Yeah.
Leather footy back then, or had we gone synthetic by then?
Probably synthetic, early 90s, I'd say. Lucky he could actually kick it properly, because you wouldn't. It was teeming with rain too, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
It was pouring.
Yeah.
And let's face it, if that was Mal Meninga, the old toe punter, I wouldn't have backed him to get that one.
Could have gone anywhere.
What have happened to the toe pun, mate? Why isn't anyone toe punting anymore?
Because I saw something.
It sucks.
Some American came out, I think. And everybody started taking advice. I don't know. I'm going to shut up. I'll put that wrong.
That makes sense.
Something to do with a, similar to a golf swing or something.
Yeah.
If you hit it with the side of your foot, it gives you a greater plane for to strike the ball with. Whereas, you know, with the front of your boot, it actually makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
You're trying to hit a ball with, like, you know, a 1 millimetre.
Yeah.
Kind of, I don't know.
Makes sense.
I don't know. I've never kicked a goal in my life. But,
have you? I've used to kick a few. Mate, so hero and zero of the week, just to round out the week, mate. Zero. Yeah.
Mate, I was at my local on Thursday night watching the Sharks and the Cowboys.
Yeah.
It was a really good game. The Cowboys got out to a 14-0 lead, and it was really hard, and you could tell there was a bit of niggle getting into it.
Yep.
It was great. And something happened near the Sharks try line. Mm. Lachlan Coote has gone to field the ball and, I don't know, ended up on the ground, just laying prone on the ground, face down. He was obviously injured, waiting for a Sharks player to come and put both hands on him to signify the tackle is over. Mm. Except Maloney has done this. He's come over and actually physically landed right on top of him, did this weird kind of wrestling slam on.
He's injured.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, that's not needed, mate. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. I know it's competitive, and this is a grubby game.
Is
and all
that the different
of
mindset I'm talking about between Queenslanders and New South Wales?
Yeah, probably is. We're the grubs, aren't we? The baddies, purest snow Queenslanders.
No, but that was dead set shocking.
And I was in the pub, and there was about 50 other people in there, and everyone just went.
Yeah, you know, caught up on it.
What's that?
Did Maloney get called up?
I don't think so. No, it's just a nothing event. But I looked at it and I thought, that's not necessary.
Not in the spirit of the game.
No.
And, you know, he is the most penalised person in the game.
Yeah.
And he misses the most tackles out of anyone in the game.
There you go.
It makes me feel good.
And he's in.
I just reminded myself to feel a little bit
and
better.
And he's in New South Wales State of Origin side. No, he's a great player. But, he is. He used to also, remember how he used to rip players' boots off and throw them into the crowd? Do you remember when the play was going on? I remember that.
He's dead set.
He's a bit, we had a great feature written on him a couple of years ago by Matt Cleary, who went and had a yarn to him. And, he's a bit of a jack-in-the-box type bloke.
Yeah.
Real larrikin, real footy rugby league person.
Yeah, so he's meant to be a real barrel of laughs away from the field. Sure. One of the boys like him. He's very well liked.
By
Queenslanders as well. Mate,
what's yours?
The hero of the league. I think it was a great thing from you to raise, mate, in our pre-meeting, to say that the beanies for brain cancer.
Yeah, didn't that go off?
Fantastic, mate. What a wonderful sight, and a real reminder of rugby league coming together, but a real reminder of the working class ethos that is rugby league.
Yeah.
Compared to other codes, some other codes even try to be unworking class, you know, don't they, if that's even a word. But really digging in there for each other, and showing a lot of pride and a lot of support to brain cancer and bringing some awareness to something. Obviously, Mark Hughes, the former Knights player, and I can't remember his name. I apologise. The producer from Channel 9 was battling it as well.
Oh, right.
And mate, you have a look at Thurston. He's been a huge advocate of it all. But I think they'd raised $1 million after the first game. I mean,
really,
their target was 500,000, and what 500,000 was going to do was going to allow them to employ a full time researcher, and an assistant. So now I think they've got, I don't know, I don't even think they know how much they've raised so far, but they've sold out of beanies. They sold out on the Saturday, I think.
Yeah, I heard that. And if you want one, you have to wait a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you
got to. Well, they make X amount of thousands of them.
Yeah. Beautiful, wasn't it? And to see all the players running out in the beanies, I mean, that's just what rugby league is all about. It's a working class game.
Yeah, definitely.
It's about digging in for each other. Not about, you know, where you live or the postcode you're in or your job title is or who you're married to or who you're dating. It's about the fundamentals of life, which is about supporting each other and looking for the best in each other. And that's why I love this game so much.
Yeah, and it was good to see the biggest players in the game be right front row centre in that ad campaign that they had.
It was wonderful,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Only complaint I do have is, you know how they all ran out with the beanies on? Yeah. That was all cool. I think all it would have taken is one of them to start the game with a beanie. Someone should have just done it, like first tackle wearing a beanie.
Yeah, that would have been great.
It didn't happen, though.
Didn't happen.
Maybe it's illegal. Maybe you're not allowed to wear head
warmers. Something like that.
Yeah, no, that was one of the best things that's happened to the game in a long time, that round. Yeah.
It's great.
Hopefully it makes its way back into the game next year.
Yeah, and it really will. And I'm really interested to see. We'll do an update about that next week on our podcast. We'll fill you in on how much money's been raised. And by then we'll have a better idea of sort of employment that they can give these guys in their own lab to research what is a really devastating disease affecting...
Yeah.
The most people, it's the cancer that affects the most people under 40 years of age. So
that's right.
Fantastic. All right, mate. Well, thank you.
Thanks, heaps.
Great chatting. I think that was
very good.
That was great. And everyone, enjoy the Origin.
Yep.
Enjoy your footy this weekend, mate. Thanks, James.
Thank you.